Amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 3. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 3. And I have actually, I started putting these notes together. And really, I just had a few verses and a few little thoughts that I wrote down while I was on a cruise ship back in, I guess, October of 2023. And I never really did anything with it. I was helping a church down in Alvin, Texas, that was in the process of trying to find a pastor, and I was filling in for them as unofficial interim pastor, and I didn't know what I was doing, they didn't know what they were doing, and so we were all just trying to find the will of God for that church in that particular period of time. And since then, by the good grace of God, the Lord led my brother-in-law, Brother Gary Lutrick Jr., to be the pastor there. And we were able to help that church and that through that process and that transition. There was a lot of hurt and there was just a lot of baggage. But the Lord got in the middle of that thing and put them there, and they are doing well. And said, I said all that to say this. I started putting this together, and then through my travels and through the providence of God, I never got to teach the thoughts. And so I have been working on these things, and I think it may be a blessing to us here tonight. It's not an exhaustive study. There's, I'm sure, a lot more that if our pastor was to stand here, I would be writing notes and filling in so much more stuff that he could no doubt give to us tonight on this subject. I feel inadequate, really, to teach on this tonight, but I'm going to trust the Lord to give us what we need here, and maybe He'll help us tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 3, verse number 15. I'm going to teach tonight on what to look for in a pastor. On what to look for in a pastor. And there may be times in your life where the Lord moves you on. It may be circumstances. It may be health. It may just be the providence of God. And you may move to a different state or a different city. Or things just may happen and you have to leave your local assembly through the providential hand of God. And there's many churches, as you know, on street corners everywhere, especially in the South. There are churches and pastors everywhere. So what do you look for when you're looking for a pastor? Maybe that would be you down the road. I hope not. I hope the Lord lets us all stay right here and serve the Lord together until the trumpet sounds. But sometimes life happens and the providence of God leads us other places. To be honest with you, I never thought we would have to apply these things and to walk these paths as our family. We never dreamed that this would happen. But there was a time in our life in the past year and a half, 2 years, where we were faced with a transition and a decision to place our family under a different church and a different leadership. I know some of you others that are in here. Now, we won't point you out, but you know, things have happened in your local churches, and now you're here. Some of you are members of our local assembly. Some of you are still seeking the Lord and trying to figure out, is East River Baptist Church the place where God wants me and my family to be? And we want the will of God. That's the ultimate thing tonight. We want the will of God for our church. We want the will of God for our personal lives. And sometimes it's different for your family as it is for my family. But ultimately, we want what God wants in our life. And then there may be a time, and no doubt there will be in the life of this church, every church, if it stays open, if it continues on for God, churches have to go through what we call transition periods, to where because of age or affliction or just the providential hand of God, the Lord may move a pastor on, such as our pastor here. The day will come, no doubt, in the future, whether that's next month or 10 years from now. We don't know. We're seeking the Lord. But when that happens, what do we look for in a pastor? And so with those questions and thoughts in our mind tonight, let me read to you one verse and then we'll give you some things here. Jeremiah chapter number 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." So that means that a real pastor is not found. A real pastor, I believe tonight, is given by God. He is a God-given man, and God will give a church what, really, a church will get what they deserve many times, and also a church will get what they desire. You say, how did that man end up in that church? How did these situations, I mean, what happened? And if you look at it, really many times it's what the Lord allows. It's what the Lord gives. And a church will get what they deserve, and many times they will get what they desire. We're living in a time where churches are shopping for pastors. And I have preached in churches like this, churches that are, they can't seem to have a pastor. They can't seem to keep one. There are churches all over our country that don't have a pastor right now. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches that don't have a pastor. And when they go about this thing of trying to find a pastor, they are shopping for pastors. They shop for them like they're hiring a CEO or a leadership position. And they're asking the questions like this. They might say, well, can he grow our church? When he comes, can he make our church get bigger? They might ask this, well, can the man, if he comes, is he a dynamic man? Does he have a good personality? Is he bombastic? Is he relative? Is he able to assimilate into our culture, in our society? And many churches are full of activity, but they are empty of authority. And tonight we want the authority of God in our church. I want a man that has the authority of God to be the shepherd of my family and of my children. They are growing. Some people think that just because a church is getting bigger, that it's growing. And I found out that there are some places they are getting bigger in number. They're not growing. You say, what are they doing? They're swelling. It's kind of like, brother, if you was to be driving down 59 and you was to hit a German Shepherd on Sunday morning in the middle of August in Texas, and then you was to come back the next Sunday morning and the same German Shepherd's laid in 59, you know what he is? He's bigger next Sunday than he was the Sunday you hit him. But you said, what was going on? He's just swelling. You said, what's going on? He stinks. There's a lot of churches like that. They're not growing. They're swelling. They're getting bigger every day, but they're dead and they stink. And if a man in the pulpit is wrong, and by the way, not every man that stands behind the pulpit was sent by God. If the man in the pulpit's wrong, the church will drift. We've seen this. And those churches will eventually die. Now, what does the Bible say about a pastor? There are many names in the Bible used for a pastor. As I was putting this together, about 22, 23 years ago, I was trying to remember the exact year. I was a very young preacher at the time, and it was at the tail end of Dr. Adrian Rogers' ministry. But I got to go to his pastor's training institute, and I wish I could find the notes. I don't know where all of them are at through moving and stuff like that. But some of the stuff that I wrote down in this Bible, I never forgot. And I remember this, and I'll give you some of the stuff that he shared with us. And he said this: there are many names in the Bible used for a pastor. Each name describes that pastor's God-given responsibilities. He gave us three things, but I added a fourth. Not that Dr. Rogers needed someone to add another point to his outline. But he said this. He said that a pastor is described in four words, or three words, maturity, ministry, and management. Let's look at a few of these. Let's look at the maturity of the man of God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. We'll look at these and see what the Bible has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this: this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a what? A bishop. So there's different words used synonymously. They're different, but they describe different roles of a pastor. In this particular one, he's called a bishop. He desireth the office of a bishop. He desireth a good work. So he's called here a bishop. Look at chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse number 17. The Bible says here, let the elders, that's another word. So there's bishop and there is elder. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that do what? That rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So this speaks of his maturity. But then there is the shepherd's ministry. What is the shepherd's ministry? The Bible, there's a, the first mention of the word shepherd in your Bible is Genesis chapter number 46 and verse number 34. I wrote this down today because I thought it was very interesting. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. Genesis 46 verse number 34 says, at the end of the verse, the very last part of the verse in the chapter, it says, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. The world has always opposed God-given pastors. It has always opposed men that God has placed to be a minister. Somebody said, well, that man's a minister. That's not a wrong word. His ministry is to be a shepherd. And that word is connected in Acts chapter number 20, and we'll look at it later, to the word feed. He is a feeding shepherd. So there's maturity, there's ministry, and then there's what we would call the management of this pastor. He has given the job of being the overseer. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going quickly through these. We're not camping out. We could stay there for a little while and kind of teach on these a little more exhaustively. But I want to move on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2. The Bible says this. Verse number 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. That is the ministry of the shepherd. That's the shepherd. That's the pastor. He's a pastor. He's a shepherd. But then he is a man that is a man of management. Look at what he says there, taking the what? The oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. So Dr. Rogers said he's a man of ministry, maturity, and management, but then I added this, he is also a man that is a man of God. The Bible does call him a man of God. Sometimes this title is made fun of. But it is a Bible term. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul says it in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 in verse number 15. By the way, when you're looking for a pastor, you ought to make sure that he is an elder and a bishop. He's a man of maturity. That he is a man that has been given his God-given ministry. He's a man that's able to feed the flock of God. He's not trying to blend in with the world. He doesn't care if Egypt despises him. Genesis 46. But he's also a man of management. He is one that is taking the oversight thereof, the responsibility of being the overseer. But then he's also a man of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse number 15 says, and that from a child that hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at it, verse 17, that the what? The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So a pastor has three responsibilities. He's to be a man of ministry, maturity, and management because he is God's man. He is God's man for that church. These are not optional qualities, but they are God-required characteristics for anyone who stands in the office of a pastor. And when a church ignores the things that God has to say, that church will suffer spiritually. That church many times will suffer doctrinally. And eventually the church will suffer directionally in the way that God wants that church to go. It's been said that the church is not a business to be run, it's a body to be led. I believe Brother Adrian Rogers said that. Brother Jack Wood said one time, the church is the only business that will stay in business if it stays out of business. The business of other churches and the business of other people and the business of other things in the world were about God's business. And so everything rises and falls on what? Fellowship. I've heard it said before that everything rises and falls on leadership. Well, if that's true, then, by the way, I know what they're saying when they say that, but listen to what Paul said. Paul said, follow me as I what? Follow. You know what Paul was a man that did? He was a man who followed. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ, and as long as I'm following, because everything rises and falls on fellowship. If the leader's not following, it's not going to work out. Everything rises and falls on the man that's the pastor following Christ, and you and I following the man as he follows Christ. And when he stops following Christ, you don't have to follow him anymore. The pastor will follow Christ. The people will follow the pastor. God will bless the church. God will bless the individuals. And the work of God will go forward in unity and in harmony and in what? Charity, as pastor often says many times. So what do we say here? What to look for in a pastor, Brother Bo? Number one, I got just a few of them. We're not going to get to all of them tonight, but we'll maybe just teach one point. I don't know how far we'll get. Number one, a pastor is to be a God-sent man. A God-sent man. Now, this is where it all starts. Look at John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 and verse number 6. John chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The man that God sends to a particular church, he is a God-called man. He's a God-sent man. He's a God-called man. He is not mama-called. We've heard this before, right? And he's not papa sent or daddy sent. He's a God-called man. There's a lot of people for their namesake trying to call their children into the ministry, and that's God's business. By the way, he's not a self-appointed man. Some men appoint themselves. I know a man that did that fairly recently. He wanted a church. He wanted to be a pastor. And so he said these words, I forced the current pastor's hand. Beware of a man that forces himself into a position, because if he's God sent, God will send him where he wants him. He's a God sent man. He's not a hired man. Beware of somebody that says that we're just trying to hire a pastor. Or a pastor that says, I'm just trying to get a church to hire me to be their pastor. He is to be, if you hire a pastor, you're going to get a what? A hireling. But you're not going to get a pastor. The position of pastor is never to be viewed by the church as we are hiring a man. Now, what does it mean to vote? Some churches don't believe in voting on anything, and I think that's the other extreme. If you vote for a pastor, a vote for a man that you believe was sent by God to be your pastor, you say, what is it? It is an agreement with God that you agree that God sent that man to be your shepherd, and you are willing to submit to his leadership and God-given, God-ordained authority. You say, I believe we're hiring, we are appointing him, but rather we are submitting to the perfect will of God, and we are agreeing that God has sent this man to be our pastor. The call of God on a man to be the pastor, I believe it's the highest calling on earth. I believe men have downplayed this thing. It's even higher than the calling of the President of the United States of America. And most churches these days are looking for wrong things. They're looking for wrong things. They're looking like Israel was looking for Saul. Say, man, he's tall. Man, he's handsome. Man, he's got a good wife. Man, he's got a pretty family. Man, he dresses good. He's got a pretty smile. He's got a charismatic personality. Man, he's just got such a great delivery. Man, he just brings this electricity in the room. And man, every time we go to church, he just makes us feel so good. This is what churches are looking for. They're asking the wrong questions. I don't think some of those things are bad, necessarily evil qualities, but what about asking this question? Does he love God? Is he filled with the Holy Ghost? Is he God called? Is he the will of God for our church? Is he willing to preach the truth? Does he love people or does he love his position? How does he treat his wife? Is she bitter? Is she angry? How does the man treat his children? How does he spend his money? Does he talk to God? And does God listen to that man when he talks to God? Does God answer his prayers? You see, a man that's sent from God is never to be ran by a deacon board or trustees or the treasurer. My pastor used to say, Mr. Moneybags and Miss Pocketbook. I remember when I was a little kid, you know, he'd say those words, you know. It's true, though. And many of these men, they are controlled and they are placed in these positions of power by these particular entities or individuals or organizations or committees. Now listen, it does not mean that that man is not accountable and should not have any accountability in his life. A man that is sent from God is not insecure when there is some accountability given to that man. As a matter of fact, if he's a man sent by God, he ought to submit himself and have some accountability in his life, lest he become a what? A cult leader. He is leading and feeding the flock of God, which was purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is a major responsibility. That is a high calling. That is not something that should be taken lightly. That is not something that should be passed over very quickly. Brother Jack Wood said about the deacon board. This church doesn't have deacons, I don't believe, right? No deacons here. I've been in churches that had 10 people and 5 deacons. What a mess, man. And they can't keep a pastor. And I like what Brother Jack Wood said. I had this written in my Bible. He said a deacon board, many times, is what the church uses to spank the preacher with. Amen? And that's about the truth. You see, if he's a God-sent man and you agree that God sent the man to be the pastor, the best thing that you can do is submit to his pastoral leadership as that man feeds and leads, and then you swallow and follow. Now, this does not mean that if he's a man sent from God, that he is going to be a perfect man. He's not going to be a perfect man. No man is perfect. He is a man at best, right? As Elijah was said, he was as a man with like passions, like as we are. And so every man has his strengths and every man has his weaknesses. But it's not our job to try to straighten the man out. You say, well, I just feel like it's my job to make sure he does right and he gets right. If he's sent by God, talk to God about it. And God has a way of dealing with his man, especially if he's in tune with God. He might just, amen, not know he's even wrong in his particular situation. The Old Testament, I know it's what the Old Testament says, and we're not talking about pastors being Old Testament prophets. We're not trying to liken them to the same thing, but there is an application there that I think we should glean from. And the Bible does say in the Old Testament to touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. This does not mean that you cannot deal with him corporately as a church if that man is living in sin. Sometimes men of God, they get off in sin, and many times they're either stealing money or they're committing fornication or they're committing adultery or they begin to teach doctrinal errors. And beware of a man that thinks that the church is his church. It's not my church. And sometimes we might say, would you want to come to my church? And we all have probably said that. But this is not our church. It's God's church. It's his church. It's God's church. And a man who thinks that the church is his church will soon begin to think that that is the money in the church account is his money. And I've seen it before. They believe also when they say it's my church and that's my money, they begin to think that the ladies in the church are his ladies too. And many times it goes south real quickly because things are out of order from the way that God wants them to be. We all know some horror stories, don't we? Of churches that we know, men that we know that went a different direction, and churches that got blown all to smithereens, the churches that used to be good churches. But you ought to run from a church that has a man who thinks that he's the cult leader, that he is the main enchilada. God is the main event. Amen. At East River Baptist Church, we want God's will, and the man that God sends must be a man that is sent by God. A God-sent man will create boundaries of accountability for himself by allowing other spiritual men to give him wisdom as they all seek the mind of God together. Isn't that a beautiful thing? When you have a man sent from God, a pastor, and spiritual men that gather together and say, hey, not my will, but thine be done. Not his will, not your will, not our will. We want God's will, and we're going to seek the will of God for this church, for the things that go on in this church. Amen. And sometimes they change. Sometimes there's things that go on behind the scenes that you and I don't necessarily know about. But a man sent from God, you say, what will he have? He will have a clear testimony that he is called by God. Look at Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We see this in the Apostle Paul's life. You see, pastoring, it makes a terrible occupation. It's a terrible job, but it is a great calling. This is not a job. This is not an occupation that someone is into. You say, what is it? It is a, we have a clear testimony that God has sent him. God has called them. Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. The Bible speaks about the Apostle Paul here, and it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And again, this is the Apostle Paul's calling. Ours is going to look exactly like this. It looks different with every man, but you get the general idea. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he has a clear testimony that he's been called by God. This man that's been sent by God has a burden for the souls of men. He does not just have a desire for a position. He has a message from God, not just sermons or clever outlines. He's a man that gets a word from God and he preaches what God tells him to preach. This is a man who is a voice, not necessarily just an echo. He's a voice. That's what John was in John chapter number 1. There was a man sent from God that he was the voice of one. Crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's a prophet of God, so to speak. He's not a parrot just repeating what somebody wants him to say. He's saying what God wants him to say. He has a walk with God that matches his talk about God. You see, you don't choose God's man based upon his personality. Don't choose your pastor based upon his education or his popularity. But choose him on his call. Is he a man sent from God? Brother Adrian Rogers said, the call of God is not a career choice. It is a divine summons from our Heavenly Father. He sent the man. And if a man can do anything else, besides preach and be satisfied, he's not called to preach. That's what Brother Roger said. I like that. I've said that before because sometimes men struggle. And it's, I'd say this, preach and go do it. But a man that's been called by God, he cannot get away from that call. He'll wrestle with God until he submits to God and he gets where God wants him to be. The call of God will be confirmed by God. God will confirm the man. Scripture will confirm the man. And then that man will begin to have fruit, not just feelings. Somebody said, how do you know it's the real, he's a call by God? Oh, I just feel it's right. Don't trust your feelings. We looked at that last week when we studied discernment, right? Don't trust your feelings. You say, well, the voice is another voice, but the feeling is this son, the voice is this son, and don't trust your feelings, trust the will of God. A God-called man does not preach because he can, he preaches because he must. He is like a Jeremiah. Remember when Jeremiah quit? He said, I'm done. I will not speak anymore in his name. But then he said, you know, I don't know how long it was from the time he said that to the time that he said, I could not stay because his word was in my, it was in my bones. It was a fire shut up in my bones and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He said, I couldn't stay, quit. That's a man sent from God doing what God wants him to do. He has a call that he cannot escape. A man that's been sent by God has a message he did not invent. God gave him the message. And he has a burden that he did not choose. You say, where did it all come from? It came from God. So he's a man sent from God. Now I've got five other points, but I want to look at something here that I added on here towards the end. Look at Zechariah chapter number 11. If the Lord lets us teach again in the future, we can finish this up. But in Zechariah chapter number 11, so there's a man sent from God. There's a pastor assembly that is God sent. He's God's man. He's in God's will. He's a man of ministry. He's a man of maturity. He's a man of management. He's a man of God. But there is a contrast here that we must take heed in the Word of God. And again, prophetically, this is talking about the Antichrist in Zechariah chapter number 11. But we cannot negate the fact here in verse number 16. The Bible says, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those to be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Look at what the Bible calls this man. This is not a man that you want to submit your family to. If you ever have to move and find you a pastor. This is not a man that you want to be your next pastor, regardless of the situation. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. What does this man look like? I wrote down a few things here. Number one, this idle shepherd neglects the needy. You see, he is too busy for people. He's too busy. He's got his own thing going on. He don't have time for people. And when he does take time for people, this man focuses only on the important members. Mr. Moneybags and Miss Pocketbook. He doesn't have a burden for backsliders. He doesn't have a burden for the broken people. Did you notice what it said there? For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit. Shall not visit. Interested in visiting those that be cut off. So he neglects the needy. He's too busy for people. And he's not a man that's going to visit you or your family. when they are in great need. Not only that, he neglects the needy, but number two, he has no burden for the next generation. Look at what the Bible says, nor heal that which is broken. That's the backslidden. Nor feed that which standeth. I missed one there. He shall not visit those that be cut off. That's the backslidden. Neither shall seek the young one. That's the next generation. He's not interested in the next generation that's coming along. Number three, he does not heal the hurting. Look at what he says there, verse 16. Nor heal that is broken. He doesn't heal the hurting. This man is a harsh man. This pastor is a hateful pastor. He dismisses emotional and spiritual wounds that he causes or that others come into the church with. You say, why? Because he is an idol shepherd. He does not heal the hurting. Number four, he does not feed the flock. Look at what he said there. Nor feed that standeth still. He gives motivational talks, but he does not preach the words of God. He entertains instead of feeds the flock. Number five, he exploits the people in his congregation. He shall eat the flesh, the Bible says right there, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat. He uses people for money. He sees the church as a resource, not a responsibility. You see, a true shepherd feeds the sheep, as we've seen in the scriptures. But an idol shepherd, in Zechariah chapter number 11, he feeds on the sheep. Do you see that? He shall eat the flesh of the fat. Look at verse number six here. He damages instead of protects, and tear their claws in pieces. He controls people instead of caring about people. He manipulates, but he's not interested in being a minister. He leaves people spiritually wounded. Some people are just, you know, they're just not fit for it, right? Some people, they get injured by leadership. You say, why? Because they find themselves under idol shepherds that tear their claws in pieces. Number seven, he abandons the flock. Look at verse number 17. Woe to the idol shepherd that does what? Eventually, you know what happens? He leaves the flock. He's not in it for the long haul. He's not in it for 30 years. He's going to find some bigger, better, badder thing. And he eventually hits the road when things get hard. He disappears during a crisis. He will destroy the church. And then you know what he'll do? He'll blame it on the people. They say, well, those people down there. And really, everywhere he goes, he leaves a debris trail behind him. You say, why? Because he's abandoning the flock. And then lastly here, he's got God's judgment on him, lest you think the man's going to get away with it. Look at what the Bible says. The sword, verse 17, shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. The Bible says the sword shall be upon his arm and his right eye. His arm signifies that his strength will eventually fail him. The eye signifies that his vision will eventually be darkened, and God will deal with his influence. God will deal with this man's authority. God will deal with this man's ability to lead. You may not see this immediately, because God don't deal with men in a timely fashion many times like we would. But God does not ignore, and he will deal with it in his timing. So again, I had about four or five other things there, but we've got enough here tonight to understand that when you're looking for a man, the first thing you want to look for is a shepherd that was sent by God, not an idol shepherd. An idol shepherd. Do you see the contrast in the two? May God help us as we move forward in the days ahead and we walk with God in our lives, that we might find ourselves seeking the will of God when it comes to these decisions in our life. Looking for a pastor, don't look for charisma, look for a calling. Don't look for talent, look for truth. Don't look for popularity, look for purity. A man that'll preach and lead, love, stand for the truth and stay faithful. Adrian Rogers said this, and I'm done tonight. He said, if you want to know what a church will be in 5 years, just look at the pastor. It took me a while to get my mind wrapped around that, but I thought, what does he mean by that? But a man will take that church in whichever direction he's going. I want to be with a man like Paul as he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Or a man that, by the way, God's been good to East River Baptist Church, hasn't he? He's given it two good men, two different men, different eras, different times, different responsibilities, different needs. But through the years when this church was going down, you know what God did? God sent a man at the right time, the right place, for the right situation. And you and I in 2026 are here tonight serving the Lord because this church, by the grace of God and the mercy of God, got under a man sent from God. Amen. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for giving us a pastor. Lord, he's been here 30 years. I've just been here a year and a half, going on 2 years. But Lord, I know I've gleaned so much from my family being under God's man, a man sent from God. And Father, I pray that you would help us in the days ahead. Give us all wisdom and discernment. Father, you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. And Father, we need your wisdom tonight. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, from our own will and our own ambitions. And Father, help us all to walk in the perfect will of God for our lives and our families. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.